And so for all those thousands of years, everybody was in sin. Nobody was righteous. So Jesus said, okay, Father, I will go to the earth and I will become a man. I will lay down my deity and I will become a man. And I will become the first man that's ever been since Adam that's on the earth with no sin. I will let the tempter test me and tempt me in every way to prove that man can walk holy before me, that they do not have to sin. I will show you this, he says. So Jesus came as a little baby, born through a woman, became a man, and he lived for 33 years on this earth, and the devil in that last 3 years did everything he could do to try to get Jesus to sin. When Jesus was out there praying, he was so on him that he even sweated drops of blood, and he still didn't sin. And so after that, the devil says, that's it. I've had it with this guy. I don't care if I can't make him sin. I'm going to kill him anyway. And he did. And Jesus let him. What happens when you kill an innocent man? You just destroyed yourself, didn't you? 2 Corinthians 4:4. And whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Okay, verse 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now then, who are the princes of this world? Satan and his host of demons. That's exactly right. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So who crucified the Lord of glory? Satan and his host of demons. Now, did he use human beings to do it? Oh, yeah, sure. Well, this is a spiritual battle. So the demons were inside of people, and those people were the ones that beat Jesus. They're the ones that hung him on the cross. They're the ones that crucified him. And Jesus sat back and let them do this to him. And he had no fault. He had never sinned. Now then, when Satan destroyed him, Genesis 9:6, who sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. According to God's law, we have even accepted this law into our land. It used to be the law of the land. If you kill somebody that they were an honest person, you just shot somebody, you was robbing them or whatever, what used to happen to you? You died. Yeah. I mean, you killed an innocent man. You got killed. Well, that law has never changed in God's rules. So when Satan killed an innocent man, he had no claim to him. This is the first man since Adam. See, when Adam and Eve was here, Satan had no claim to them until he could get them to sin. When they sinned, now they transferred their dominion to him. And he became the God of this world. But when Jesus came, he didn't sin. If Jesus came to this earth, and he walked 33 years and he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And he says, if you believe in me, you can do the same thing I can do. Do we have to sin as Christians? No, we really don't. It's a choice. Every time we sin, it's a choice. Do you realize that? That every time you sin, you made the wrong choice if you are a child of God. And you have the power in you to not do it. Because just like you and me talked about just a minute ago, the King of Kings lives inside of you. And so you have that power living inside of you. Today, we do not have to sin as Christians. If we do, it's a choice. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and me, he was killed by the God of this world, and he had no claim to him. He had no legal right to him. He was the first man in 4,000 years that he didn't have legal right to. But when he killed him, he signed his own death warrant. He was to be destroyed. That's how Hebrews 2:14 is fulfilled when it says, by becoming a man, becoming flesh and blood, and by death, he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. That's how he done it. So thank God that he came as a little baby in the womb of a mother a couple thousand years ago, huh? Because, you know, he knew all this then. He knew what he was doing from day one. And it took me 2/3 of a lifetime to figure that out. You have no idea how many times I read that book before it finally became a revelation to me. I would read it, and I would read it, and I would read it, and over and over and over. I said, God, you got to have something you're trying to show me. I've got to understand why you had to do it this way. I don't understand why you had to die. There's got to have been a better way. But then when I realized, when it finally hit me, when I put all these scriptures together, he gave the earth to a man. And that man became the God of this world. He had dominion and power over everything on this earth. Is that right? Everything. And then man fell. And then Satan became the God of this world. And so he ruled it for 4,000 years. And man cried out to Jesus, cried out to the Lord. And so the Lord finally said, okay, if now that I believe y'all are about halfway sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'll send my son down to take care of this. And he sent Jesus. And Jesus lived that beautiful life for us for 33 years and said, this is what you can do. You can live like this. These are the things you can do. In fact, can you imagine being on the Sea of Galilee with him in the middle of a storm and they wake him up and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And he gets up and says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And he says, peace be still. And the water stopped. And then, of course, then he turns to the guys at another time and says, if you have faith and doubt not, you can speak to the mountain and it will obey you. Now, all we got to do is believe that, don't we? But there's not a handful of people I ever met that believe those things. But those things are in the Word, aren't they? It's real. And when we believe him, he always shows up when we exercise faith. Now then, if you got that wishy-washy stuff, you know, well, maybe, perhaps, you know, maybe he'll do this. He won't do nothing. I don't move his hand. I can just see it now. I'm gonna find out who this young man is that said that all his pain went away. Because I've seen this now. I don't even know. Probably five times, at least five different times in my life, I have prayed over people that had, like, for instance, Lisa up in the north, wherever it was, and somewhere up north, many years ago, this is 10 years ago, I guess, at least, this girl, Lisa, she could take little bitty steps like this, and she could bend about this much, and that's it. She'd had three back surgeries. And when I told her, I said, you know, you ain't been in church, have you, girl? Well, no, I don't go to church. I said, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. So I said, you're a disobedient daughter. I said, how many surgeries have you had? She says, three, and they want to do a fourth one. But she said, I ain't going to let them do a fourth one. I said, Lisa, how would you like for Jesus to heal you? Well, she said, what? I said, yeah, he wants to heal you. But I said, you got to make him a promise you'll go to church. You got to make him a promise that you love him and tell him you'll stop living the way you're living and you'll put him first. And she said, so if I do that, what's going to happen? I said, he's going to heal your back. She didn't believe that. So I turned over to Ruth. That was her friend. And Ruth had a arm done and had stainless steel bolts put in her arm. She could lift it about that high. And I said, Ruth, you go to church? Well, I go to church some, but not very much. I said, Ruth, will you tell God how sorry you are that you hadn't been an obedient daughter? You've been a disobedient daughter, and that you will make him a promise. You will go to church. You'll read his word. Well, she said, I know I should do that, but okay, Lord, she said, I'm sorry that I'm not going to church. I will. I promise you I'll go to church, and I promise you I'll study your word more. I said, okay. So I reached over and laid my hand on her shoulder. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to turn the stainless steel bolts in her arm to flesh and bone where she can raise her arm straight up. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. And I said, now raise your arm up. And she said, what? I said, raise your arm up. See, people don't believe. Somebody's got to exercise faith, right? So I said, raise your arm up. And so she starts up and her arm goes straight up. Wow, she's just hysterical. She said, there's no pain. And all of a sudden, Lisa over said, Lord, I'll go to church. Lord, I'll repent. I'll go to church. Got her attention, didn't it? So I went over and I said, Lisa, you really mean it? Yes. She said, I've never seen that. Lord, I'll do anything to get my back healed. I said, okay. So I reached up, laid my hand on her back, slapped her on the back. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, turn those stainless steel rods. She said, get her back into flesh and bone where this girl can bend over and touch the floor. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. I said, Lisa, bend over. And she bent over and touched the floor. I mean, after all, who did we serve? I mean, did he promise us we could do these things? So what's wrong with us? Why don't we exercise our dominion and our power and our authority? After all, Thurman's not the one who told you these things. It came out of the Bible. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Wow, that's an awesome scripture right there. And 1 John 3:8, I want us to see this. 1 John 3:8, you just got to see this. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now then, what if you say you're a Christian and you're out there living in sin? What does God say about you? You're of the who? Wow, that's kind of scary, isn't it? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did Jesus come to destroy the works of the devil? Oh yeah, and by becoming a man and letting the devil kill him, he did it, didn't he? He absolutely did that. Then let's go to Luke 10:19-20. Luke 10:19-20. This is an awesome promise that if you become a son of God, and you walk in obedience to his word, and you know you're a son or a daughter of God, this is a promise that God has given us in the New Testament. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on the devil and his demons and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the evil spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So if I'm walking obedient to God's word, when I speak to a devil, like I did that demon that night and that little girl in that strip club, when I spoke to those demons, what do they have to do? They have to obey me. I am a son of God. When I remit that girl's sins and command those spirits to leave, they have to leave. And of course, all of you know, most of you know about the revelation we got when we was out in Silver City, when we were casting the 2,823 demons out of that one girl, that little Christian girl, I mean, that had sinned and opened the door and those demons were in her creating all kinds of problems. Here she's a Christian woman, got 2,823 demons, and we're casting them out after we get the sin taken care of, and then we get down to four. Out of 2,823, we get down to four demons. Now, Dave was there holding her feet down. Cheryl was right there beside her. We all experienced this together. So, and we all saw this. God was really teaching us some stuff. And we were casting out these demons, and this woman's getting delivered, and we get down to the final four. 7.5 hours have gone by. We are fighting, and I am tired, and I looked over and I said, Lord, in an hour, I got to be in another church preaching. And I said, Lord, I got to preach a couple hours tonight. I said, when's this going to be over? And he spoke to me and said, son, I am a faith God. When you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. Wow. That's just what that scripture just said, wasn't it? The demons have to be subject to me. I have all power over them because of what Jesus did on that cross. By him coming to this earth 2,000 years ago as a baby and being born through the womb of a mama into a manger, and in growing up to be a man and walked holy before his heavenly Father for 33 years and then let the devil kill him. When he took that beating and he took that cross and he went to that grave for you and arose again on the third day. Now then, all power in heaven and earth is given to him, and he gives it to you and me. And he tells us things like this. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to cast out demons, serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In other words, if you walk in obedience to God's word, what can hurt you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Why Did Jesus Become a Man? Or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.